You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
That's come forth is great promise in public safety, but balance is very, very important.
The bill's co-author, Senator Patricia Bates, also says it'll grant civil immunity to any emergency responder who damages a drone that's interfering with emergency services. Cleanup is underway this morning in the Phoenix, Arizona area after a massive thunderstorm struck last night, leaving roads flooded and thousands without power, dumping over an inch of rain in less than an hour in some parts of town. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
With back to school about a week away for remaining school districts, teachers around the country are starting to compete for education grants from this year's Lowe's Toolbox for Education campaign.
They're kicking it off with a Letters to Lowe's campaign, which means that four schools across the country are going to get $25,000 worth of grants and the support of our employee volunteers at Lowe's to help make their schools an amazing place for students.
That's Kyle Schwartz, who teaches in Denver. You can enter by submitting online letters and photos showing how a Lowe's Toolbox for Education grant and Lowe's employee volunteers might help improve your school. Teacher Kyle Schwartz says Lowe's has distributed a lot of money to American schools over the past 10 years.
Over 10,000 schools in the last 10 years have gotten $45 million in grants for their kids, and that's helping 6 million kids across our country. So these grants are really important.
Lowe's is accepting submissions through October 2nd at letterstolowe's.com. Fiat Chrysler is recalling over 200,000 Jeep Cherokees. The automaker says a defect on the 2014 models may lead to malfunctioning windshield wipers. In-house tests on the vehicle prompted the recall. Fiat Chrysler says there have been no reports of any incidents. It'll take longer than expected before SpaceX is ready to return to flight. The company hasn't launched any rockets since a Falcon 9 exploded 2 minutes after its liftoff in June. Last month, NASA said it would conduct its own review of the SpaceX rocket failure. The Dragon capsule was carrying more than $100 million of space station supplies when it was lost. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Thank you. good day, and welcome to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Chris Bianco. I am the principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice, hands-on assistance to the business owner who never has time for his or her business. We do that by accomplishing your wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so that consumers seeking solutions for personal or business use can be better informed when making those decisions or hiring individuals to carry out those decisions. Each week, I'll focus on topics about technology. Segments will include technology news, the latest apps, buying advice for hardware and software, and answering your questions. To contact me during the show, go to Tech Today on Facebook, message me through there, email me at goodmorning@huntingchamberradio.com. You can phone me at 908-237-0410, and if you need to get in touch with me outside of the show, go to my company website, bluepantherbiz.com. Well, welcome to another edition of Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Lots of great things to talk about, lots of great things that are going on in the world of technology. And the first one is, again, we're back on smartwatches. Well, who's got one now? Well, it's Samsung. Samsung's got a slick new smartwatch. It makes calls without a phone. This is on Wired. It's published by Wired.com. Tim Moynihan wrote this for Gear on the 31st of August. And he says that just a few weeks ago, Samsung teased a new smartwatch at the end of its Galaxy S6 Plus Edge and Galaxy Note 5 launch event. Details were scant, but the elegant aesthetics looked promising. A circular face, a rotating bezel for controlling it, and giving the 3G connectivity in last year's Gear S, possibly the ability to use it for voice calls and texts without being tethered to a phone. It looks like a smart Samsung has delivered on all promised fronts. The new Samsung Gear S2 is indeed round. The bezel rotates like a little steering wheel to navigate apps, and one version of the app of the watch and its embedded 3G eSIM card that can make calls and slurp data without a phone. There's also another version of the Gear S2 without that 3G connectivity. Both options include Wi-Fi, Bluetooth 4.1, and near-field communications, NFC, and the ability to use it as a wrist-mounted credit card via Samsung Pay support. Perhaps the most impressive part of the new watch is the dimension of its face. With a 1.2-inch diameter AMOLED display, one with a befitting resolution of 360 by 360 pixels, the screen is significantly smaller than that of the Moto 360. It's more along the size of an LG G Watch R, which should give it a bit more of a normal watch size and look. And both versions of the watch have an IP68 dust and water-resistant rating, which means they should be fine to wear in the shower. Why somebody would want to do that, I have no idea. That said, the non-3G version of the watch is 11.5 millimeters thick, which is the same depth as the Moto 360 and a millimeter thicker than the Apple Watch. If you want the 3G version, the depth chunks up to 13.4 millimeters. Both versions of the watch have a display with a pixel density of 302 ppi, which is a bit shy of that of an Apple Watch at 326 ppi. Quite honestly, when you're getting that small, there's not much difference. But that extra thickness may be the key to Samsung's battery life claims. With the non-3G version of the Gear S2, the company says you can expect 2 to 3 days of juice off a single charge. The 3G version of the watch, which has a 300 millionth battery instead of a 250 millionth unit, is a non-3G watch, purportedly gears up to 2 days from all that extra tower pinging. Both versions of the watch charge wirelessly, according to Samsung. Under the hood of each watch, there's a dual-core 1 gigahertz processor with 512 megabits of RAM and a paltry 4 gig of storage, an accelerometer, a heart rate monitor, a gyroscope, and a barometer. These watches also aren't part of the Android Wear family. They both run Tizen, which means they'll likely only play nice with newer Samsung Galaxy phones. They do offer voice controls, but those were powered by Samsung's S-Voice system rather than Google Now. So we're a little bit closer to the promise of a bona fide Dick Tracy communicator, even if we'll probably want to have to pay a couple of phone bills to use it. Samsung hasn't announced pricing, watch band styles, or release date details just yet. With IFA beginning in Berlin later this year, all the information is likely to be just around the corner. I'm still not there. I don't wear a watch now. I use my phone. I don't know how I'm going to be considered to weaned off of my phone to go back to a watch. But they'll have to do something. They'll come up with something that'll make me start to consider it. But I just don't know. So there you have it. We have Samsung watches rivaling Apple watches. We have another product that's coming out. And we're talking games now. And it's also from Wired. It says, finally, the regular size new Nintendo 3DS comes to America. People have been waiting this for Nintendo. Chris Kohler of Entertainment wrote this in August 31st, and he says that Nintendo of America is finally about to catch up to the rest of the world, releasing the smaller, customizable version of the new Nintendo 3DS on September 25th. Of course, I hope you like Animal Crossing, since the new machine will at first only be available at $219.99 a bundle package with Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer. It's also include two sets of swappable faceplates, which let you customize the look of your new Nintendo 3DS in Japan, where new Nintendo 3DS was released in October last year. 64 different faceplate designs are available for approximately $10 to $25 each. Nintendo of America released the new Nintendo 3DS XL, which is larger but has no customizable options in February. Nintendo has not said if or when it will sell the new Nintendo 3DS outside of the Animal Crossing bundle or when new faceplates might become available. So for those of you who are looking for the new 3DS, it'll be here soon. Moving on to other topics, we have a bunch of apps that we can talk about. Actually, let's continue with new technology that's being leaked. And Apple has a new TV that just leaked ahead of its launch. So here's all the details from Business Insider, and it's on finance.yahoo.com and written by Lisa Idisico on August 31st. She says, Apple's expected to launch its next-generation set-top box next week, and we're getting a good idea exactly what to expect. A new report from the usually accurate Mark Gurman of 9to5 Mac says the new Apple TV will focus on two major areas, gaming and Siri incorporation. With its new Apple TV, the company will actively compete with gaming consoles from the likes of Microsoft and Sony, the report says. Updated hardware, software, and supported peripherals are expected to make the Apple TV more appealing to gamers. For example, you'll be able to use console-style controllers that have been previously released for iPhone and iPads with the Apple TV. That, combined with the idea that you'll be able to download games directly on the set-top box through the new App Store that's rumored to come with the new Apple TV, could make it an interesting gaming device for casual players. Amazon made a similar move when it launched the Fire TV in April of 2014, which is compatible with an Amazon-made gaming controller and can run certain mobile games. This is just one of several rumors we've heard about Apple's new TV so far. Previous reports have indicated that Siri will be one of the marquee features to debut on the new streaming box. Gurman reports that a near-universe Siri control could be coming, which sounds as if you'd be able to execute most commands without even using the Apple TV's remote control. That being said, Apple is also believed to be working on a revamped Bluetooth remote control for its next-generation TV box. It's said to include tactile physical buttons and a touchpad. These physical buttons could include a home button and a button for activating Siri. Other changes reportedly include a faster processor, a thicker design, as Gurman has reported in the past. The next Apple TV is also expected to be more expensive at $200 when it reportedly launches in October. According to Gurman, for content, the current Apple TV was priced at $99 when it initially launched and now costs $69. Now, Apple TV, all these streaming boxes are great. Don't get me wrong. It's a great opportunity to take advantage of streaming now instead of cable TV. I have been off cable TV for about 2 years now. The one thing that is a little bit issue with Apple TV is that it's typically locked and you cannot install anything third party on it. Now, in the past, the old Apple TV devices, you were able to get through that and install other apps. If that's not the case here, might not be an option for me. I tend to use a product called Kodi, which is streaming and movies, but you certainly can get all the different TV streaming services that are out there and watch TV live or watch any type of pay services through Apple TV. Sounds like it's going to be neat to have some game consoling. That might be of an advantage. And certainly voice commands seems to be an apparent desire on most people rather than having to use a crummy remote. Now, on my streaming boxes, I actually use a USB wireless keyboard, and it has a mouse pad, so I'm able to do all my typing on this wireless keypad. It's a full-size keyboard, so I'm able to type everything that I want. Don't need to have the voice commands, and the mouse is on there as well, so you're able to direct the mouse. I haven't ever used a remote control, except maybe for trying to turn it on and turn it off, but usually I don't even bother doing that. So check it out if you're an Apple disciple and you're looking for any type of Apple type of streaming. It'll be out soon, and it's the way to go. We're moving away from the world of cable, and this is the way people are connecting their TV screens to the Internet and making everything seamless at this point. We're at a breaking point. We're going to take a break, do a commercial, station ID, and we will be back with more of Tech Today in just a few minutes.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Welcome back to Tech Today on HunterChamberRadio.com. For those of you who think that Apple products are secure, I have some information for you. ZDNet reports that iPhone malware KeyRaider stole thousands of Apple logins. Researchers called this largest known Apple account theft caused by malware. And it's Zach Whitaker for Zero Day, wrote this on the 31st of August, and he says, a new kind of malware targeting iPhones and iPads is able to steal security certificates, usernames, and passwords and other private account data. Researchers at WipeTech and Palo Alto Networks said in a blog post on Sunday that they had discovered a database of thousands of Apple accounts which had been stolen by malware distributed through repositories used by popular jailbreak tool, Cydia. The malware, dubbed KeyRaider, intercepts iTunes traffic on the device, stealing usernames, passwords, and unique device identifiers, which have been uploaded to the malware owner's server. More than 225,000 users from 18 countries are thought to be affected by the malware. Quote, "We believe this to be the largest known Apple account theft caused by malware," said Claude Shaw, the post's author. "The malware is also known to have locked devices, holding them for ransom, an increasingly popular method of generating potentially vast sums of money for attackers. But how big an issue is it? Through millions of users will be affected. The vast majority of iPhone and iPad owners are said to be safe. The malware targets devices that have been jailbroken, a process which device restrictions are cracked, allowing users greater access to the device's functionality. By allowing developers to tap into the device's core, users have greater customization and access to features. But with that comes its own risks by giving malware that same access. The now infamous hacking team, which suffered a major data breach earlier this year, reported also targeted jailbroken phones and iPads without users knowing. We reached out to Apple for comment, but not immediately did not hear back. So there is the caveat to this. For those of you who use Apple phones and use them as directed, as appropriate, when you're not cracking or jailbreaking it, then you should be safe for the most part, because the only way that information is downloaded onto your device is through Apple and Apple servers. And Apple does a great job of scrubbing all types of apps that go on their servers before they download them to your devices. However, there are plenty of people who have learned or desire to get third-party programs on your iPhones. You're the ones that want it, so you're the ones that do it. And if you or somebody that you advise or ask wants to jailbreak your phone to allow third-party apps, none that come from Apple, onto your phone, and some of them are great, by the way, but if you want that to happen, then you are putting yourself at risk. And if you do not have the diligence to look and scrub your phone and make sure that it's malware-free, you are, in fact, putting yourself at risk. I also need to advise you that jailbreaking your phone does void its warranty. So it's something that you know full well that you are doing, and you are putting your phone at risk. Does it break it? Usually not. But it does separate you from, and the responsibility of Apple from, ever having to worry about your phone if you, in fact, jailbreak it. Now, you can unjailbreak it, but just letting you know, if you walk into an Apple store with a jailbroken phone, they're not going to be very interested in helping you. So you'd need to restore it back, which you can. All right, so that's a lot of our products. Now, how about getting things done in a better manner? How about boosting the Wi-Fi in your home? And I have an article from Lifehacker here. It's on lifehacker.com. Whitson Gordon of Lifehacker wrote this article on the 31st, and he says, top 10 ways to boost your home Wi-Fi. Wireless internet is the most convenient thing since sliced bread. When it works, one of the most frustrating parts of modern computing when it doesn't. And so here are some tips to figure out how to make it better at home. Wi-Fi is one of the most useful. We know that. Use the latest Wi-Fi technologies. One of the best ways to make sure your network is as fast and reliable as possible is to use up-to-date hardware. We've gone through the busiest basics of router hardware before, so check out First Lesson of Our Networking Night School for the full lowdown. The main thing you need to know, wireless A, B, and G are old and slow. Wireless N and even newer wireless AC will give you the fastest speeds around. Note that you'll need both a wireless N router and a wireless N card in your computer if you want the full speed boost. All right, let's stop there for a second. So wireless A and B typically only goes about 64 kilobits a second. Wireless G goes about 100 kilobits a second. Wireless N goes about 300 kilobits a second. But as they just said, you need to have the router that sends that signal, and then you need to have the card that receives it and processes it in the stream that it's in. And wireless AC can go up to 1,000. So that's going to be tremendously faster, 3 times faster than N. But you need a wireless AC router, and you need a wireless AC adapter or card on your laptop or your PC. You can mix and match, but you're only going to get the speed of the slowest component. So if you have a wireless A router and a wireless AC card, you're only going to get the speed of the wireless A router. If you have a wireless A card and a wireless AC router, you're only going to get the speed of the wireless A card. So understand that. By the way, the AC adapter has a way, a router has an ability to send the signal further distance. It kind of shrinks the direction. So when it realizes where the signal is going to and it sends out a further signal, it kind of makes an oval instead of a circle around your house, and it follows you where you are. Find the perfect spot for your router. This is pretty good, especially when you have to deal with walls and stairs and floors. Routers may be ugly, but that doesn't mean you need to hide them behind the TV cabinet. If you want the best signal, you'll need it out in the open, free of any walls and obstructions. Point the antenna perpendicular and elevate the router if you can. One reader found that his attic was the perfect spot. Lastly, make sure it's in the center of your house so you have the best coverage possible throughout your home. So center of the house and higher rather than lower. And as avoid as many walls as possible. Find the right wireless channel. If you have a neighbor, their router may be interfering with yours and causing the signals to degrade. Wireless routers can operate on a number of different channels, and you want yours on a channel with as little interference as possible. So use a tool like Wi-Fi Stumbler or Wi-Fi Analyzer to find the perfect channel in your house. We have more detailed instructions on how to do that. It's on Lifehacker. Get rid of interference from other appliances. Yes, if you have your Wi-Fi near other electronics, they can destroy or degrade the signal, especially cordless phones or other hands or other bands too. If you don't want to buy new hardware, you can always try moving your router further away from interfering appliances too. Thwart Wi-Fi thieves with better security. Even if your router has a password, it can be easily to hack. There are easy ways to find out if someone is stealing your Wi-Fi, but the best thing to do is just lock them out with better security. Using a WPA password is absolutely essential, but even those can be cracked pretty easily. So, even our security recommendations here is fully protect your network from prying eyes. So, when you install your router, there's a page, a security page. They're getting easier, by the way, because the latest routers I have has a little app. But you have a page, and the first way it's installed is it has no password. Then there's WEP, WEP security, which is very cryptic. It's 16 letters and numbers, and you can never remember them. WPA and WPA2 security allows you to create a passphrase, something that makes sense to you and something you can give to your friends and family when they come in. And it's also easy to change. So highly recommend that you do that. And you always should use something like numbers and letters and uppercase and lowercase and even substitution of letters for numbers and vice versa. So a 5 is an S or an S is a 5, and depending on what the word or the phrase is. Control bandwidth hogging applications. someone in your house regularly video chats, plays online games, torrents files, or uses services like Netflix, they can be bogging down your bandwidth and making the internet slower for everyone. Luckily, you can use something called Quality of Service, or QoS for short, to rein in those bandwidth hogs. With QoS, you can prioritize certain applications, say video chat, over others like video games, so the most important applications get the bandwidth they deserve. Increase your Wi-Fi range with some do-it-yourself tricks. If your router still won't reach far enough, you can extend the range with simple do-it-yourself tricks. One favorite is Windsurfer tinfoil hack, though you can also use an old beer can or a cooking strainer to extend your router's range. The results won't necessarily be mind-blowing, but you should be able to eke out a bit more distance out of your Wi-Fi. By the way, that AC router has the ability to go further because, like I said, it creates an oval signal rather than a circular or a sphere signal range. Boost your router's signal with a bit of hacking. Another great way to extend your range is to hack your router and install the DDWRT firmware. Not only will it give you a lot of great security features and other enhancements, but it gives you the option to boost your transmitting power. This can be dangerous for your router, but most routers can handle it, increase up to 70 MW without causing any issues, and you'll be able to access your network from much further away. Turn on an old router into a Wi-Fi repeater. That's right. If you happen to have older routers, there's nothing stopping you from taking that router and putting it in another part of the house. You just have to, instead of having it have its own network, instead you plug one of the network cables into the network network areas, and it becomes a repeater. It will still use the original router as the one that processes your IP addresses and security, but it extends the signal in your home. So it's a range extender. And set your router to reboot on a schedule. That's right. Sometimes the cache has to be cleared and the firmware needs to be updated, and because of heat and dust, you need to reset it from time to time. So once a day or so, you should have it reboot. And DDWRT, that software that we're talking about, has its own scheduled timer. So when you're done, you shouldn't have to reboot your router so often, which is great for routers all the way up to the attic. So if you're one of many folks that reboot router every so often, it doesn't drop out, there's a solution. Run a few tests to make size problem isn't caused by heat, old firmware, excessive downloads. So reboot it once a day and see if you can get clean it up. So it's certainly a lot of things there will help you in managing the network speed. Obviously, a newer router will be better than an old one, but it's certainly all those are choices. All right, we're at another time to take a break here. You've been listening to Tech Today on HuntingChamber.com. We'll be back right after the news and the weather.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm a CPA with the accounting firm of Bedard Corky & Company, and I joined the Chamber to interact with new Chamber members and expand our mutual needs for business networking and giving back to the Hunterdon business community.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
It's September, and most students have already been off to college now or about to be going to college. It's a good time to have a little chat with them about identity theft. And I have an article here from Consumer Reports, talking about six ways college students can protect against identity theft. Catherine Friedman wrote this article on the 27th, and she says, identity theft is the most common type of fraud, and college students are especially vulnerable. According to the Federal Trade Commission, people aged 20 to 29 are among the most frequent victims and accounted for 18% of complaints in 2014. Identity theft hits college students harder than any older age groups because younger people are not aware of how it can affect them far into the future. From being hounded by a debt collector or a debt that you did not incur, or being unable to access your own credit cards or bank account, or being arrested for crimes committed by people who have stolen your identity, to not receiving proper medical care because an identity thief stole access to your medical insurance. Identity theft can also ruin your credit rating, which can affect your ability to rent an apartment, get a loan, apply for a job, or buy insurance. Where is it likely to occur? Well, college students become a fraud target for two reasons. They live in close quarters, and they do not take enough precautions. Here is where the most vulnerable and how they can protect themselves. Don't trust the dorm room. Your dorm room is your home away from home, so it's natural to feel relaxed and let your guests guard down. However, dorm rooms are notoriously open to many people, some who have no qualms about rifling through your papers for personal information, such as bank account numbers, credit card numbers, or Social Security numbers. Leave your important documents, such as your Social Security card and birth certificate, with your parents. If you must bring them with you, store them in a secure, locked space. Carry only physical copies of ID that you actually need, such as your driver's license or student ID. Secure your electronic devices. Students share their smartphones, laptops, and tablets as readily as sip a soy latte, making it easy for someone to swipe your secrets. Encrypt all data on your devices and don't store personal information on your laptop or smartphone. Keep all of your electronic devices locked when not in use. Let's go back for a second. First of all, there are those fire safes that you can get. You go to like a Staples or a Costco or a BJ's, and you get one of those little fire safes. They're about 1 foot by 1 foot, and they're fine. Or you can even get a smaller one, but really those are pretty heavy and clumsy to kind of walk out with. And they have a key that you can lock, or they have a combination. Highly recommend that. Encryption on your devices. Most people don't do this, but you have the ability to encrypt the data on your hard drive or on your phone. So if it's stolen, somebody can't go into the bypass your ID, your password, and it's all gibberish. So you really should look into encrypting your hard drive and encrypting your phone's mechanics so that anybody trying to bypass the password to allow you to see anything that's encrypted cannot see it, even if they wanted to take the hard drive out of the computer. Beware of oversharing on social media. This is a huge one for this younger generation. There's no way to tell if your new Facebook friend is really a buddy or a baddie sent you a link to download malware into the computer, smartphone, or tablet. Don't click on a link, no matter how tempting it seems, unless you know who sent it to you. Adjust the privacy settings to make it more difficult for people you do not know to view your information or post material on your pages. Limit use of public Wi-Fi. We've talked about this numerous times. There is a way to impersonate the Wi-Fi signal, the SSID, that is out in a certain space. If you happen to be close enough to somebody, they could, and it's Starbucks 32, somebody else can create a Starbucks 32, and now you're connecting to their computer, and they're digging through your computer while you think you're on the Internet. College campuses are peppered with public hotspots, which data thieves use to steal information. Never shop, check your balance, or log into a credit card account while on a public connection. Many of your phones nowadays can be a mobile hotspot with encryption and with a password. So I typically have my phones and my tablet. I broadcast my ID to my laptop. In fact, you don't even need to broadcast the ID, the SSID, and you could connect your laptop to your phone and surf the internet that way. Why go to a public hotspot? I know it's data intensive, but hey, you're just doing it to do, if you're not doing videos and photos, you should not be using a lot of data nowadays. Strengthen your passwords. We just talked about this. Using the same, do not use the same one for every device and account. You may use a name of a pet, which is publicized on Facebook. You have to come up with ways of being smart about it. And like I said, mix numbers, symbols, letters, and even substitute capital letters with numbers or use acronyms. Ignore credit card offers. Students are regularly inundated with invitations to complete a pre-approved credit application, either by mail or at campus events. Yet filling in your name, social security number, and date of birth and a driver's license number as public is just opening the door to ID theft. Don't sign up on a tablet or a booth on campus. Instead, go to the company's secure website from your private password-protected internet connection. Shred mailed solicitations. I do this all the time. Buy yourself a good cross-cut small shredder, personal shredder. Anything that comes with your address and your name or any information on it, I shred. I shred every piece of, I won't shred empty envelopes, those window envelopes, but I will shred anything that has my name or address on it. Take yourself off a marketing list for pre-approved credit cards. You can do that by going to optoutprescreen.com. Students who want to avoid identity theft should brush up on their Shakespeare, as he wrote in Othello, who steals my purse steals trash, but he that flitches with me my good name makes me poor indeed. So just be smart about how you're using your information and do not buy into everything that needs to be purchased, anything that needs to be filled out. Be very smart about where your name, address, and all your secure numbers are, and you'll be much better off. All right, we are we're starting to see a coordination between the world and a culmination between the world of Google and the world of Apple. And here's another example of it. It says that Google Plus Collections is now on iOS. It's on The Verge, and The Verge published this by Aria Sattelvad on August 31st, and it said that 3 months after Google introduced Google Plus Collections, the feature is now available on iOS. Google announced in a blog post today with the update, iOS users who still use Google Plus can now curate their feeds and filling them with images and conversations specific to their interests. While the update might be helpful to users who have stuck around, Google Plus seems to largely be a sunken ship. Google no longer requires users to create Google Plus accounts. And earlier this year, split off Photos and Hangouts to see if the two could make it as standalone products. Collections is one of the company's surviving ideas for the new Google Plus, which is supposed to be a network organized around specific interests. Also, it's basically like Pinterest. So it's basically telling you that they're trying to fetch new user base, but really Google Plus has never really caught on. There's so many other places to go, and not really accomplishing much. And how about, before we go to a break, the 7 apps, awesome apps, paid iPhone apps, on sale for free right now. Brad Reed of Yahoo Tech gives us an insight into that. And he says these are paid iPhone and iPad apps. The first one is Secret Menu from Starbucks Pro. And it normally sells for 99 cents. And he says, looking for a secret menu for Starbucks? Have you ever wanted to order secret items at your local coffee shop or know exactly what goes into each drink? Well, now you can with this app. Well, now you can with the Secret Menu from Starbucks app. Try hundreds of new drink recipes like Snickerdoodle Frappuccino and the burnt marshmallow. Have a great recipe that you don't see here? Submit them with our app, and you'll have them featured. So download the Starbucks Secret Menu app. The Yo Window weather is second here. Everything just has a the Yo Window weather is normally for $2.99. It says free today with app of the day. Download the app of the day. Discover every day a paid app that becomes 24 hours. Yo Window is a unique new weather app. The magic of your window is a living landscape that reflects the actual weather. For instance, if it's raining, it rains in your window. The sunset and the sunrise in your window happens exactly the same time as in real life. But the great thing is you can scroll the time forward. Just swipe the screen and you will see how the weather is going to change throughout the day. Simple, all the weather at your fingertips. You can see the current weather, the forecast for today, and for several days ahead. So that's pretty cool. What else do we have? That's only two of the seven. Running Music Trainer. A lot of you are exercise nuts. Well, this is $3.99. Running Music Trainer is a collection of high-quality music scientifically engineered at the most ideal BPM and speed to help you stay motivated and excited to run. That's pretty cool, actually. I know that people are motivated by the certain types of music, so it's trying to coordinate that with you. Chain Breaker is $2.99. It's time to break the chains. You have always dreamed of breaking the chains and getting absolute freedom. You can do it right now. Welcome to the distant, cloudy realm. The evil wizard has stolen the magic cow, so it's a game, apparently. Cloudfella is a... It's got a dashboard, and what it does, it's $1.99. Tens of thousands downloaded this app. Thanks for the help supporting this new and revolutionary idea. Imagine if you could search all the files in the cloud as fast as they were on the local computer. Imagine if you could quickly identify duplicate files across all your cloud services from your iPhone. Imagine if you could have a visual overview of all the files in the cloud, not just dry numbers, but interactive charts. This is how possible with Cloudfella, manager of your files in the cloud like a boss. So essentially it's kind of a number of apps that you would see on a computer or an Apple, and it categorizes them into music files, data files, photo files, and the like to kind of give you a handle on what you're putting up there, especially if you're paying for cloud storage. SaveGram is $1.99. View, search, and save your image video you save in Instagram with the highest quality. Repost Instagram videos and photos easily. SaveGram makes it easy to save Instagram photos and videos from your own or any user to the iDevices. Did you love one beautiful Instagram photo or amazing video and want to keep it forever? SaveGram helps you download that Instagram photo and videos to your camera roll. I know a lot of folks that like to do that. And OO, I guess it's the way you pronounce it. It's a lowercase O and an uppercase O. It's $1.99. Is hardcore minimal dodge 'em up game. In OO, you control a ball as it moves around the circumference of the interconnected circles. Tapping the screen shifts you from the interior to the exterior and vice versa. So it's an addicting game. And that's it. There is seven different games that are free today, according to Yahoo Tech, as of August 31st. So you're getting a jump on it right now. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back with more of Tech Today in just a moment.
Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC, The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
All right, welcome back to Tech Today. A couple more things to go over with you before I give it up to the Some Things About Money team. We're reporting on the first day of September. So let's see what else we have to talk about today. First one is the pair up of Cisco and Apple. They're going to have a fast lane for devices that allow iPhones and iPads to move more quickly and run through Cisco's network. So Apple is looking to reinforce the position of its iPhones and iPads in the workplace with a partnership with Cisco Systems. The world's second largest manufacturer of smartphones and Cisco, one of the world's largest business network equipment makers, said Monday that they would create a fast lane for devices running on Apple's iOS software, namely iPhones and iPads. That would allow them to zip through Cisco's busiest environment. The company said Cisco's networks and the iOS devices will be optimized to better work together. This is on CNET, by the way, and it came out yesterday. The deal allows Apple to strengthen its growing position in the business world, a domain once dominated by BlackBerry. While the iPhone is fairly ubiquitous in the workplace, Apple is keen on getting more businesses to use it, its iPad tablet, which has suffered six consecutive declines in sales. Cisco, meanwhile, gets another big name partner and added benefit to tout. It's, I just changed. What happened to my page? Good grief. There it is. Added benefit to tout its business customers. Cisco Chairman John Chambers had Apple CEO Tim Cook join him on a stage at a Cisco event on Monday to discuss the partnership. As part of the deal, iPhones will be better work with Cisco's collaborative tools, including its video conferencing products, as well as with Cisco's own work desktop phones. The relationship between Apple and Cisco hasn't always been a close one. In January 2007, shortly after Apple unveiled the first iPhone, Cisco filed a lawsuit accusing the company of infringing an iPhone trademark. The two settled the suit the following month, pledging to explore how they could work together in the areas of security and consumer and business communications. So there you have it. If you have an iPhone or an iPad and you want to use it more freely and have it run faster in the business network, well, it's coming your way as long as you have Cisco products in the network. And last but not least, nice to have this one as the end. The Harvard Business Review says, relax, turn off your phone, and go to sleep. Larry Rosen on the 31st wrote this article on HBR.org, and he says, as a child, I was terrible sleeper. My parents would often find me awake at 3 a.m. with a flashlight under the covers, reading a Hardy Boy, Nancy Drew, or Tom Swift book. When I was 9 years old, my pediatrician prescribed an awful-tasting medicine to be taken at night, mixed with pineapple juice to mask the flavor. Years later, I found out that that medicine was actually a heavy-duty narcotic, sometimes called a Mickey Finn. Needless to say, I was just never a good sleeper. In my adult years, I often explained away my sleeping habits by swearing that 4 to 5 hours of sleep a night was all I needed. My colleagues and I at California State University Dominguez Hills conducted sleep research that stems from my lab's work on the psychology of technology, where we have discovered two important variables that encourage us to use and misuse technology, thereby losing sleep. Poor executive functioning, which includes our inability to pay attention, problem solve, control our impulses, and make decisions. And two, anxiety. In our work, anxiety is sometimes referred to as FOMO, or the fear of missing out. We see this anxiety in the majority of smartphone users who feel uncomfortable if they are not to direct contact with their phones and their many electronic connections 24/7, 365. A dead battery and no charger can bring upon a panic attack. In our new, yet-to-be-published study of more than 700 college students, we found that while poor executive functioning did predict sleep problems, the stronger effect was actually due to anxiety. The students who were more anxious about being apart from their phones and used their phones more during a typical day and woke up to check their phones more often at night. The latter two results, more daily smartphone use and more nighttime awakenings, led directly to sleep problems. Why does anxiety about needing to stay in contact negatively impact sleep? First, those who are anxious about staying connected are more likely to use their technology right up until bedtime. We now know that the blue wavelength light from LED-based devices, phones, tablets, and computers increases the release of cortisol in the brain, which makes us more alert and inhibits the production of melatonin, which is needed to fall asleep. That's why the National Sleep Foundation recommends turning off all devices an hour prior to bedtime. The Mayo Clinic says that if you do choose to use technology during the hour before bedtime, keep it 14 inches from your face and dim the brightness, which helps reduce the blue light and increases the natural melatonin release. A study by the researchers of Harvard Medical School found that compared to reading a paper book, people who read from an e-book need an additional 10 minutes to fall asleep. They experienced 90 minutes of delayed melatonin onset and had half the amount of melatonin released. They also had diminished rapid eye movement sleep, and to compound these effects, anxious people have more cortisol in their system, which further stymies sleep. Anxious people also tend to have shorter attention spans, and our own research has shown that they switch tasks every 3 to 5 minutes. These frenetic task switching increases stress and cortisol, creating a vicious cycle. And finally, anxious people are more likely to sleep with their phone close to and check it when they awake at night, which then further disrupts sleep. Consider how vitally important sleep is in our health. In the 1950s and 60s, William Dement and Nathaniel Kleitman illuminated the process of sleep. And basically, the normal, well-rested people, sleep happens in a series of 90-minute bursts, each ending with a dream. Leading up to that dream are four critical phases responsible for synaptic rejuvenation, or the process of pruning away unneeded mental connections and consolidating all reinforcing needed ones. In addition, various molecular byproducts of thinking are left in the brain throughout the day, which are then washed away during the normal sleep cycle. Included among these are beta amyloids, which have been found in abundance in the brain of patients with Alzheimer's disease. So when you are not well rested, these phases and the brain's housekeeping chores are disrupted. Further, if you awaken someone every time they start dreaming, they will soon skip the four phases and go straight into REM deep sleep, reducing synaptic rejuvenation. Moral of the story is, try to take the technology away. And for those parents that don't get it, you got to do something about it. So here are some of the practical advice. During the day, practice not reacting to incoming alerts or notifications like one of Pavlov's dogs. Don't check your phone every time it beeps. In fact, turn off notifications and check on a schedule to refrain your brain's neurotransmitters. Stop using all devices 1 hour prior to sleep. Put all devices away in another room rather than keep them in the bedroom to discourage you from checking them during the night. An hour before bedtime, start dimming the room lights slowly to release melatonin. During the last hour before bedtime, choose an activity that your brain will find predictable and thus not anxiety-provoking. Consider any of the following. Watch a television show that you love, maybe even a repeat. Read a paperback book or use a Kindle which doesn't emit blue light. Listen to music that is very familiar from a playlist. Or, if you awaken in the middle of the night, try this trick. Have a song lyric in mind, not just the whole song, that you play to sing in your mind over and over to block the anxiety and allow you to fall back to sleep. Another option is to learn one of the many meditation techniques and practice and use those skills to come.